I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
Hello and welcome to episode 42 of the Battlecast. I am your host, Seth Vilo, for an interesting topic this time, this month. It'll be a fun one, and I've got two of the most brilliant minds that I could find for this topic with me this time. Going in some order that I've determined, we've got the one, the only, the orca whale himself, Dr. Shamu.
Hello, hello.
And on top of that, we've got the boy who can't seem to get a ferret plushie, because they're always out of stock, Mr. Claude Nine.
Howdy do. And they're also like $300, and it's hard to justify purchasing a 6-foot ferret plush for $300.
Is it, though?
I think I spent like $150 on Wooloo stuff this last week, so I can't
see?
Like,
he
know.
Can do that. You can get a. You can
once
get a
I get a
thing.
House, I will consider it much more. And by that, I mean I have the house. We haven't moved in yet.
Ah,
I see. So you're gonna buy like 5 of them and like line a wall of them, so you can.
They're each gonna get their own room. They're gonna guard the house. I'm gonna get a couple of ferret statues and like ferret gnomes.
You're
for outside.
Gonna get, like, gonna get a bunk bed that 2 of them can be in one room.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful. You know what would be a good product? An actual good product is, you know how they have those like beanbag door stop things that keeps drafts from coming in under your door?
If one of those was a ferret?
But ferrets. Etsy people, you've heard it here, I hope.
You're I will buy
competitive
one.
Competitive Pokemon battling. I'm sure you're here. Get on that. Draft blocking ferret things. This is what we come up with on the show. Yes, definitely. So more. Gosh, more on topic. What have you guys been up to just as far as competitive Pokemon? And that could include our topic, you know, Pokemon Unite. You've already clicked on the link. You know what the topic is. No spoiling there. But what have you guys been up to recently?
Hit expert rank, and now I'm done with competitive parts of it.
I'm currently at Ultra Class 2, and I'm pushing Masters. I gotta try. I gotta see if I can do it. At least
nice.
Once.
I just want the rewards to be, like, active, and now that they are, I don't care about ranked.
That makes sense.
Because you have to expert rank, and you have to do, like, so many games, I think, to have, like, to be eligible for the rewards. And it's just, like, and if you, there's the reward for great, and there's one for expert. And, like, why play more and risk that expert rank going back down to great and lose, like, half my reward? Like,
oh, it counts from wherever you hit.
Oh,
so if you hit it once, it counts as that.
Then why do they have a rank for great? Because you can't get those rewards if you don't get expert.
Well, if you don't make it to expert,
but yeah,
you get just their great rewards. But if you hit, I believe
okay,
you hit expert at least once.
I was aware of the fact that if you don't hit expert at all, you don't get any of those rewards.
Yeah, you don't get the expert rewards unless you hit expert.
No, but I'm saying like you won't get the one that great either, because you have to hit expert to unlock the rewards, I saw is what I was told.
Oh, I have no idea.
So to get like season rewards, you need to be able to hit expert, and then at that point, whatever I thought, you, whatever rank you end up at is what reward you would get.
I don't know.
Could be wrong, but again, it's just one of those things. We're still this game is not even a month old, and we're still figuring things out. And yeah, we'll see.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is we're I think they could have done a lot better job with a couple things that we'll go over in the topic, but we're all still learning. We're getting there bit by bit. But yeah, I've been pretty much doing the same thing. I have not been nearly as fast as you guys. Goodness gracious. I've been distracted by my IRL friends and a League of Legends game mode that we've been having a blast with. So I haven't gotten around to getting really far in Unite. So
I know what you're talking about. That's fun. We've had some times.
It is. Yeah, you and I were some of those people, Claude. So those were some fun, quote unquote, games, win or lose. So it's a good old time.
I guess you could say that.
Yeah, I'm a positive person by nature when it comes to that. Some friends of mine get rather tilted on occasion, and oh well, but it happens. It happens to the best of us.
And there was also a lot of...
Well, with that, we are going to go ahead and hop on over to the tier time, which is where we go over different trends and things in the tiers. So we'll be right back.
And now it's time to see the results of this month's Blood, Sweat, and Tearing.
And welcome back to Tier Time. We've got us, like normal, starting from the top. So, Claude, tell me what's going on in the grand old world of Ubers.
Well, I mean, there was the Zacian ban. I think, was that last time, or is that new this time?
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
that
either
had
way.
Just finalized last month.
Yeah. So, the people actually think the tier is actually in a good spot, which is kind of rare for Ubers in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one thing that's just sort of like decimating everything else. The meta is still evolving. Even things they were worried about, like Calyrex, Shadow Rider, have their checks, whether that be Yveltal or, you know, most Plissies do rather well. But funny enough, they have noticed that Dracovish is actually seeing a lot of play on the high ladder. This is mainly because as you go up, it becomes a little bit more of a bulky, slower team, and Dracovish just punishes them. Like, completely destroys all your, like, very defensive cores in Ubers.
Mm-hmm.
But
anything slower than it, which is, at that point, even with a Scarf, like, you've got probably Kyogre you can throw with it, so then you've got really easy rain to to activate with it. So yeah, I could see that being terrifying, honestly. A lot of Ubers are slower than you think.
Yeah, they usually just make up for it by having lots of bulk or an extreme amount of power. So
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's Ubers. It's, you know, Ubers.
Yeah. I was honestly surprised to see that Calyrex isn't becoming the next thing that people have a target on. Like, it now that Zacian doesn't have a stranglehold on the tier, it can people can adapt and have regular checks. And Calyrex,
well, I mean, you have
really
Yveltal, which kind of walls it.
Exactly, but that's good by itself too. You didn't.
Well, yeah, and as, like, as I said, you have Chansey, Blissey, any bulky normal type, kind of just sits in front of it.
Yeah, I was surprised to see it not be the next thing to go, but it seems like it's being handled now, which I'm surprised by, pleasantly surprised by, mind you, but surprised by.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right.
That's Ubers, really.
That's Ubers.
Not a whole lot going on. Now that there's nothing with a target on its head, it's going to be like that for the next couple episodes, guys. I apologize. It's going to be boring again. Oh well.
Well, we are 100 days out at the time of recording from BDSP, and who knows what that will do?
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they'll add Arceus to the game. That would be neat, but that may be something later on. Who knows? We'll find out. We're in the drought of news for the new games, so ho-hum. On to the next tier, though. I'll run through that one. The biggest thing out of that this last month was the ban of King's Rock. We've been discussing that for several months now, and little behind the curtain, it was the inspiration behind the items episode that we had several months ago. Was the spark of the discussion of King's Rock. It is now gone from the tier. It was deemed to be too much of an RNG level, especially, like, there was a huge surge. You can see it in the usage stats of Cloyster because the community was talking about this and how stupid it was that it can just get past its checks by flinching them down at a 41% chance. And it was just not healthy. And it was starting to have more usage than things than it really should have, being very honest. So, King's Rock is gone. Before you ask, no, Razor Fang was not banned, because it's not in Swish right now. That may change when slash if Gliscor comes with BDSP here in fall, but as of right now, it's not in the game.
But I imagine it'll be lumped in. Yeah, it'd be immediately banned.
Yeah, because it does the same thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Flinch ratio, yeah. Flinch rate, mm-hmm. Fun stuff.
I'm surprised they haven't gotten Bright Powder yet.
I think that's what they're talking about next.
Mm-hmm.
Bit by bit, now that they've kind of set the precedent of banning stupid items that are uncompetitive, that might be the next thing.
Yeah, any of the RNG items, I don't like them very much.
Yeah, even Quick Claw, because of Quick Draw, the ability, is kind of dumb.
I don't know, Quick Claw doesn't feel as bad to me.
Only with Quick Draw, that's the only time it's good. Really.
But, alright, then you're using Galarian Slowbro, and that's another issue.
Exactly.
You have to know you.
That's the other problem. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, the rest of OU, Weavile is God here. You thought Lando had a stranglehold. Weavile has kind of a stranglehold on the tier. It's honestly the reason that a lot of Lando T have started going special defensive, because Lando can't stop most of the physical sweepers anymore, because they all have a way past it. From the player survey that just happened a couple of weeks ago, just to get a kind of temperature of the tier, a lot of people, including and a lot more of the higher level players that they can verify, were actually talking about possibly suspecting Weavile of all things.
I mean,
it makes sense.
I don't get it.
It makes sense because it's lethal and has very few drawbacks. Yeah, it's fragile and you have to get it in, but there's more ways to get things in safely than ever now. If all three triple axle hits connect, hardly any counters can even survive. Like Buzzwole can be easily one-shot by a Swords Dance triple axle.
Okay.
And Knockoff is Knockoff after its buff. It's a free move that has stab and is immensely powerful.
Well, especially with no Megas in the game.
Yeah.
Knockoff became better. Or Z Crystals for that matter.
There's no
everything's knockable.
Exactly. There's no good switch in to do anything with, like. There's no good switch ends, really. Unless you're running no item, and it's like, well, you're running no item then, you know?
Exactly. Then that's an opportunity cost.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is. We've always been good. It's just high offense, high speed. Yeah, it's fragile, but mm-hmm. Sash fixes that, too, and if you don't want to have the Sash, you can just do Choice Band, and, oh, look, you're killing everything.
Yep.
As long as you hit it, like, and with Triple Axel, like, okay, cool. Choice Band, Triple Axel. Exactly. That hurts.
Terrifying.
I'm surprised we aren't seeing more Terrakions. Just to, like,
for what reason?
I don't know. Just surprised. Or like Conkeldurr that can just sit in front of it and mock punch it to oblivion.
Kind of. If it's weakened enough, which it might be because it has an orb attached and has taken spikes damage, Ice Shard goes first. So
it comes down to the issue of needing a free switch and then two priority move user that are. Or at least one that's somehow faster than Weavile.
Well, doesn't Scizor do a good job pretty much countering it?
Yes, but it can't take a knockoff. So it can't. It's not a counter, it's a check.
Okay.
It can't switch into it, like, from zero. It can't switch into it to absorb the hit and respond. Because knockoff, if that doesn't take it, knockoff plus Ice Shard might.
If only there was a Fire Fairy type.
Right. That would be so cool. But then it would be restricted to wearing boots, and then knockoff does a ton of damage anyway. So
it's whatever. Resisted. It would be resisted.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't do a ton of damage. It would just...
But same time, like, doesn't... don't remember all my type matchups, but doesn't Steel resist Ice? Or no? Is Ice neutral
to
Steel?
Yes, Steel resists Ice.
So if even that's the fact, too, of, like... Well, no, we're talking about knockoff in the season.
We need to bring back Klefki.
There you go.
Or Magearna. Magearna can take all the hits from...
I mean, you're not wrong. You are absolutely not wrong.
let's get regular Mawile in here with Intimidate, just a hard wall.
Gross.
Weavile.
This sounds like the old Protean Greninja days, where like we're running a Lomomola because it can take three hits from Greninja.
Uh huh. Yeah.
But Lomomola was actually good.
And then it dropped down to what tier is it now? Like after OU for like a week.
Well, it's not in the game anymore.
Not in Swish.
Oh, I'm not on Swish, but I'm talking about Protean Greninja days.
Like, I believe it was UU or RU.
Yeah, because it was low. It skyrocketed the OU because of Greninja, and then it went down again.
Right, even then, you still have Toxapex that can take any hits.
But anyway, yeah, Weavile is god. The other thing that's happening in OU that's surprising me, quite frankly, is Hale is seeing a lot of high ladder play because Arctisult with Hale support just kind of dismantles a lot of really common cores.
That's
so
fun.
Bolt Beam is not to be underestimated, especially when Alolan Ninetales can throw a Light Clay Aurora Veil up, because you can still use Light Clay in OU. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's good. It's a two-mon core essentially. Like, not I don't think uh-huh. core exactly, but you know what I mean. Like a two-mon combo.
So Light Clay is only able to be used in OU
and Ubers technically. But
I had not know you couldn't use it in any other tier.
Yep, it had been banned in UU a couple episodes ago. So, yep, because it was just too much for those levels. And UU banned it, banning it from all tiers below that as well. Kind of like King's Rock with OU right now. It's banned from all tiers below it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just, you know, Ninetales is just good. It's always been a good mon. Alolan Ninetales is like, no warnings, Aurora Veil. It's just one of those things where it's always got that in its pocket one way or another, which is still good for any team.
Even one turn, without Light Clay, it's still good.
Yeah, one turn dual screens. That's really dumb.
Yep.
And then you're like,
so that's
okay,
OU.
Yeah, it's OU.
Oh, sorry.
I was just reiterating my point again, just repeating, like a broken record.
That's what we do here. We're a broken record. That's why it's a podcast. But anyway, as punishment, Shamu, you get to tell me about UU.
Oh,
what's
boy.
Going on there?
Nothing changed. No banned, unbanned, depart, nothing happening. But the fact that Seether is now gone from before, it's now opened up a lot more options with like Lycanroc Dusk being able to do stuff, Bulu, Nihilego, Roserade, they're all taking the floor, being able to do what they want to do. And then Pelipper Keldeo being something that's been kind of taking the stage now too, just makes sense.
Oh yeah.
Keldeo with rain.
Yeah, because
that's
Pelipper
scary.
Dropped last month, so that's terrifying.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of
like... But,
like
there's so many grass types in UU that it's not really that much of an issue.
Yeah, there's answers. It's just still the fact that, like, you don't have an answer to that, you will get decimated. Because Keldeo, what, 130-something special attack? Like,
I think
36?
It's 129.
This is why Tentacruel is UU.
Yeah, like, Keldeo just, like, that with rain and hydro and, like, specs, like... I remember old days with like Specs Keldeo was very scary on its own, and now it's like giving it rain support too in that. It's just,
still scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah.
Yeah. It'll but never yeah, touch OU because Toxapex exists, but yeah.
Well, not anymore, then, it won't. Unless it gets a psychic move, and then it might touch OU again.
Yeah.
It does have flip turn, so that's cool.
Yeah, flip turn's good too. So you get pivoting too. So if you do have an issue where if you're like choiced and you're like locked in, or not locked in, but like, oh, I can just pivot out. You have that option to go out, which is very nice for rain, honestly. Flip turn was a very good addition for that. But yeah, with rain taking the stage, Sun's just dead. It's over there in the corner just crying.
Poor Sun.
Also seems that there's a minor discussion with a possible Gyarados suspect because after once, like, okay, one Dragon Dance and it just kind of goes to town. Like, and then, yeah, the fact that it also gets Power Rip too, and it doesn't get a good amount of coverage. Like, Gyarados has some dumb coverage.
Yeah, Power Whip, I think, really puts it over the edge, because it used to be, you know, like, Rotom Wash would just full stop it, but not anymore.
No, you got grass coverage, you're good. And that's just, Gyarados, Power Whip is such a fun move. Random things get it. Like, Licky Licky gets it. I love that. I get why. I love it. It's like, just moves and Pokemon get that are just kind of out there.
Yeah.
It's a good flavor move.
Yeah.
It's a great move. I love how it has only 85% accurate, but it feels like it's so much better than Stone Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you the times I've missed a Power Whip. I can't tell you
that
the number of times I've missed.
Also, alongside with Gyarados, though, Jirachi's kind of the get up there. Good old, I assume, Scarf Iron Head. That old... The old meme set of Jirachi.
I would assume Thunderbolt, too, for Gyarados, but...
Or Punch, yeah.
Yeah, you can just run
Oh,
Punch.
Yeah, fine. Oh, maybe. I'm not sure if Punch will kill. Or maybe Punch does kill.
Punch would kill more likely because it's physical and Gyarados doesn't have the... Well, unless you're talking about taking Intimidate into the fact, but, like, it depends on how you're...
No, Intimidate wouldn't be in effect.
Then, Thunder Punch would do more because Gyarados has, like, one...
Yeah, Gyarados has less defense. But Thunder Punch is a weaker move, so I don't know how that works.
Well, the fact that Gyarados' is like special defense is like 100, I think, or 110. It's actually
it's
got high special.
Yeah.
It's 100, yeah. So
I'm gonna figure that out right now because
kind of
it's 100.
I know Thunder Punch from like Max Attack would definitely kill.
Yeah.
Thunderbolt
So that was Dimmy just do max attack with it because of the fact of just Ironhead 2. You want to do most damage.
Thunder Punch is better. By, like, a tiny margin. Like, I think the low roll is off by four damage points. And that's the difference between a 99% chance to KO and a 100. Alright, so I would definitely run Thunder Punch on your Scarf Jirachis for Gyarados.
Yeah. Because at the end, too, it's like, depends on what we want to do. For Gyarados, yeah, there's a reason to run Thunderbolt, too, for other options as well. There's options depending on what's going on in the meta. But yeah, just Jirachi's doing Jirachi things.
As it always does.
And a little bit of spice. I'm glad it's something. Ooh. I'm glad this move's finally getting used a bit more.
Right.
Good old Regieleki. So, has leftovers, obviously ability is Transistor, max special attack, max speed, bit of HP. You're running it like especially full special offense, timid, max speed, max special attack. Sub-Protect, Thunder Cage, and Volt Switch. So, you can essentially just, like, if I'm understanding this right, you just literally just, like, throw Thunder Cage on something that you want it to, like, be able to handle, and then just stall it out, and then, if it's not something you can handle, just Volt Switch out.
Exactly. From what I was reading, you pair this with stuff that sets up status conditions, Moltres works really well with it.
So, it's like this is how you, like, trap something, just, like, let it whittle down. So if you're, like, burning, it's burn, poison, like, you hit stuff with statuses, or, like, Toxic Spikes could be good with this as well.
Yeah.
Because then it's going to hit a bunch of things. So you essentially status them, and then you use Thunder Cage to keep them in and not able to move, and then you just go between, like, Sub-Protect, and you're fast enough where you can, like, you can get your subs off before they can get a hit in.
Yep.
And you can, like,
so
lock up
another tick.
And then you're taking ticks from Thunder Cage, from the burn, the poison, burner poison. Whereas Cage, you can Volt Switch out to finish something off, or just, like, oh, I can get out, let the thing die this turn, and do whatever. Like, makes sense, because again, Regieleki really only just runs electric moves. You can run normal and rock, but again, you're just running. Regieleki there to do electric damage.
Yeah.
But you're there. You're there to go fast. Yeah. Do some fast support or hit with electric. You're not doing much else. But yeah, that's a fun set. Glad Thunder Cage getting some use.
Mm-hmm. It's really fun looking. I like trapping and I like whittling, so it fits my style.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Stallman, yeah.
That's me.
Mr. Stallman.
Bring me a stall. How about...
Hook me some stall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next tier, though. Tell me a little bit more. I'm going to keep you going, Shamu, just because of how we got it split.
Yeah.
Go ahead and tell me about RU, if you would.
Oh, Manchow got banned. It's so sad. Or well, it will be banned from...
It was banned this last Monday as of recording.
I see. Okay. So yeah, so Mianchow's gone. Goodbye, sweet prince. I assume just hits too hard, too fast, with just strong...
It's a really good scarper.
Yeah.
Yep.
It always has been. So, Mianchow's gone, though. And then now, the current quest to find the best Mianchow replacement for teams... So
yeah,
people are just scrambling to find a sub for this mon now. Like,
well, the thing
what
is,
works?
You need something that can hit hard and is fast enough to outrun Arctozolt and Hail. So,
yep, that's the quest.
That is the like big issue of trying to find is whatever.
So you're looking
that
for like, would it be like what base 95s with that can be efficient scarfers essentially and have coverage?
Yes, when there's not many.
Yeah. Yeah, because some of the replacements are Scarf Flygon, and it's similar.
Because that is fast enough.
It is fast. It's base 100, I believe, so... And then you can just, like, again, you can lure, and you have Flygon does have a good move pool. It's not the best mod in general, but it does have a very good move pool with a lot of options. So you can actually, like, mix it up, and if you need to hit certain things, you can, or you can want to switch something up to, like, again, lure different things.
You need a base 90 or better mon.
Yeah, with the move that can kill Arctozolt, essentially.
That's one of the things you're looking for, yes.
Yeah. So essentially, yeah, base 90 plus a move that can kill Arctozolt. Flygon's got Earthquake. Stab. It should do enough to it, unless it's... I don't see how that wouldn't do enough to an Arctozolt, but...
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Yeah. Another option to be...
Stab super effective, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it would definitely kill.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And another option being Scarf Bessimian. Again, it's another fighting type, like Mianchow. Getting,
but like
and does it get
speed,
scarf? Oh yeah, though it can't outrun it, and it has no regenerator, so you can't like be long, like, you don't have longevity or whatever, so you can't, like, sustain. But it does get knockoff and U-turn, which is still a good move to have. I think Mianchao got knockoff too, I don't remember. I know it got U-turn for sure.
Yeah, it does.
So essentially, it gets the same move pool as, like, Mianchao, pretty much.
Just Scarf Lucario would be a great idea!
What? Who said that? I don't think Lucario's in the tier, but I mean...
Wait for that. There's also Heracross. Again, it's Heracross is a monster. Throat Guts on it. Or whatever you're running on it. I don't know what Heracross has run down there. But Heracross always has had a high attack stat, just not the most speed.
I think it's also 80. Or it's 85 from the two.
I think 80.
That one I've seen being just like, these last couple are less on the Scarf 85, train and more just on the sheer power train and fighting type.
Just like a fighting type wall breaker, like to become Mian. Because Mianchao was essentially like a wall breaker. It's got like 125 base attack, I think.
Yeah.
It's got a high attack. And then other options are like Lucario and Pangoro. They're just niche.
Pangoro is a monster.
Pangoro is a bulky boy with decent priority options. I know you get Bullet Punch. I don't know if you get
Bullet Punch.
You get Thunder Punch too, I think, if you really want it, but not sure on that one.
So, but no. I could be wrong.
It might not be. I'm thinking old gen tutors, so I don't think you do. But again, you get Bullet Punch at least, and you have some good options for offense, and you are a bulk. You're a Pangoro. You are fat. You bulk.
Yep.
And then Hail. Okay, and those are kind of like the things that people are finding for options as a good old Mianchao replacement. Hail might be kind of getting up there again because Arctozolt taking over the tier. And then because it can run Protect and for priority and first impression, and then Mianchao was its primary like revenge killer to deal with it. And now that Mianchao's gone, Arctozolt kind of gets to run free, as we said earlier. And again, the Arctozolt and all those Galar like fossils, they are good. It's just they need the right scenario to be good. Because again.
Yeah.
With a doubling speed ability plus a move that just goes, oh, do double the damage if you go first. And if you're... So you get to go double. Yep,
yeah,
double.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, most likely it's not going to be an actual replacement for, though, Mianchao, because it did one thing very well, and if nothing else is going to be able to do that thing exactly the way that Mianchao could. But then again, it just happened, so people are still trying to figure out what the hell to do. They're still scrambling to find that Mianchao replacement, if they can find one.
Yep, exactly. So with that, we're going to take another hop down to the next tier, which is NU. No bans or anything like that. It's a very slow month as far as bans and everything is concerned, across all the tiers, really. So as predicted, Bronzong, Rotom Moe, and Copperajah are now the S-ranked monsters of this tier. They're all very good, especially Rotom Moe, because there is just nothing that pins it down, in all honesty. It can bounce around and pivot with Volt Switch, which is also very powerful, and the things that would normally come in and stop a Volt Switch don't like a Leaf Storm. Things like your ground types or your lanterns. None of those like eating a Leaf Storm. So Rotom Moe is very difficult to keep in
check.
One place. It's a good pivot for your team.
Yeah.
Another trend of those S rank things is since Flygon left, and a lot of there's been a lot of interesting stuff since Flygon left. Bronzong's actually being seen running Heat Proof much more often than Levitate, because with no Flygon around, it doesn't have to worry about being weak to Earthquake, and Fire moves are a lot more common apparently down here. So you run Heat Proof, can absorb a fire move, and set up an Iron Defense and body press your way to victory. That's how Bronzong do. Or just be thick and pair yourself with Sylveon to have a real good physical and then special partnership with Wish to keep you both healthy.
Yeah.
Some other things since Flygon left, there's the search for a good ground type replacement. Mudsdale's got a lot of hype around it right now. It's a good stealth rock setter. It's another Volt Switch blocker, even if it can't block Rotom, but whatever. And it's fat, so it's good in that regard. Golurk is like that too, but it's the offensive version because there's only like two things in the tier that aren't two shot by it because Poltergeist is stupid.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's starting to see some traction is Silvally ground type, which was just banned from, I think, ZU, but whatever. But Silvally ground is actually faster than non-scarfed Rotom Moe, so you can hit it before it hits you, maybe scare it out and use flame charge and set up on it, or just swords dance on it and go to town. One of the other things, as far as we get down kind of more to the spicier part of things, don't sleep on Ninjask, folks.
Oh, no. Ninjask is back. Because any used to be Ninjask, or you turn the tier. And you turn the tier.
Ha ha ha.
But, yeah.
But yeah, don't sleep on Ninjask. It's probably one of the best late game cleaners in that tier right now, especially with Rotom Mo around, because while it doesn't take a Volt Switch, it can hit it with X Scissor before, obviously, because it's a Ninjask, and probably sweep through it. It's super effective against Rotom Mo, so there's that.
What Ninjask's attacks? I'm trying to find that real quick. I think it's like 80 or 90?
I feel like 90. It's 80 or 90.
Yeah, 90 is good for that tier, really. Like, that's,
honestly.
Yeah, because you don't need to run Jolly or anything. You just run Adamant. Not that I really ever need to run Jolly, but, you know, like, Adamant was decent options, because you do get good options instead with X-Scissor. You get some Dark if you need to hit something like Bronzong. Actually, is Bronze Psychic? I don't know if Steel resists Bug. I can't remember my type matchup still.
Steel does resist Bug, yes.
Okay, yeah, I thought you were in, like, Night Slash or something, or possibly Knock. I don't know if it gets Knock Off. Or no, it gets Night Slash.
I don't think it does. It does get Night Slash for sure.
Yeah, I believe it's Dual Wing Beat, Swords Dance, U-Turn, X-Scissor? Maybe?
Or X-Scissor Knights. Or X-Scissor something. I need to look it up, but it's a good cleaner for...
Yeah.
Sometimes it's got choice band with four moves.
Yeah, it's got enough moves to do stuff. Like, you have acrobatics, too, if you want to do some weird stuff with that. The dueling would probably hit harder. At least without using the
an item of some kind. It's harder.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we've got one more thing on the spice rack for this tier. It is something that is objectively better than Exeggutor Alola, and dismantles that Bronzong Sylveon core that we just mentioned. And that Pokemon is Duraludon with choice specs. You run heavy metal because I guess that's, it doesn't, I would run light metal, I think. Well, maybe not, actually. No, you wouldn't, because, Copperajah is down here. And
with heavy metal. Crash.
Yeah, heavy metal makes it so that its moves do less to you on occasion because there's less of a weight difference between you. But, either is probably fine. If Low Kick starts to see a trend up, then just go to light metal, whatever.
You essentially just swap EVs. The ability, either or, depending on the meta.
Exactly. Neither of its abilities are very important that work in singles, so whatever. EVs and nature are simple. 252 attack, 4 special defense, 252 speed, modest nature, just going max special attack. With Draco Meteor, Flash Cannon, Dark Pulse, and Thunderbolt. Flash Cannon, Dark Pulse dismantles that Bronzong Sylveon core. Draco Meteor's for everything else, and Thunderbolt is coverage. So, does a good job, and it's better than Exeggutor Alola because it's actually got defensive utility, unlike that. So, that's a good one.
Yep, can't be the Steel Dragon, you know. It's a very good.
It's a very good mon.
Yeah.
All right.
Take us home, Claude.
PU, as we've guessed, there's been no bans, unbans, arrivals, or departures, or a suspect test. It's fairly quiet down here. You know, Drampa is the current talk of the town, since Guzzlord and the Alolan Exeggutor are not in the tier anymore. Glaring Articuno is actually having an impact, which is nice, because it has Future Sight, and Future Sight's a good move, people are realizing. I mean, you have some steel types like Aggron and Silvally Steel that are, you know, doing things now. That's pretty much it.
It's very boring.
Yeah. The best thing that's come out of the past, like, month has been, like, a very spicy Kabutops with, Endure. So it has Weak Armor as the ability. You run Endure and, like, 3 attacking moves with a Leechy Barrier or Weakness Policy. So you guarantee live a hit, get +2 speed, +1, +2 attack, and then you just go to town.
Yeah. It's kind of like Karakosta's Shell Smash, but you're doing it in a roundabout way, but Kabutops is better. So,
yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
But there has been some other stuff that's happened in other tiers. Like, you have Silvally Ground was banned from ZU, not that we talk very much about it. The current ZU suspect test now is on Centiscorch, which is, you know, something to look out for if you play those tiers. And Vullaby was banned from Little Cup. That is huge,
and that's fair. Vullaby was so dumb in Little Cup.
Was a monster. Yeah.
Yep.
God, I remember those days.
Yeah, I'm sure Thatch does too. He'll tell us all about it next time he's on in, you know, March.
March? That's too soon.
That is too soon. I didn't say what year, though.
That's true. That's fair.
So with that, we've wrapped up tier time. Let us go on to the topic of Pokemon Unite. We'll see you after we all load in and declare what lane we're going to.
And now for our main topic.
And welcome back to the topic. We are, as I said a minute ago, we are loaded in. We've all selected our roles. We are talking about Unite today and its competitive type level. I know that we had a show about this in the main show not too long ago, like the week after it came out. We've all had some time. There have been, I think, a couple of tournaments that
there's
have
been
happened,
a couple,
right, Claude?
Yep.
And, you know, there's been tons of YouTube videos about it, too. It's really taken the Pokemon world by storm. So we wanted to dedicate some time on it to especially us three in particular, because Shamu, you have played a ton of this, so you're very knowledgeable on it. Claude, you've played a ton.
Yes.
And then you and I, Claude, are very familiar with MOBAs as just kind of a whole. So we've got that knowledge to kind of tap on as well. So I figure we've probably got some of the best people to talk about Unite today. So that I'm very excited for that. So the first thing I wanted to ask, and I was actually talking with Shamu before we started the show about, oh, here's the items that I run on Crustle, because as you've probably seen, I am a Crustle main, folks. That's why my name has a Crustle on it now in the Discord server.
Great.
But I had to change my favorite Pokemon of each type chart when this came out, so Crustle's now rock.
I didn't change a thing, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah. So I had to be corrected on something that Shamu told me. That was kind of a weird mechanical thing. And the thing that I was going to mention right at the beginning of the show when we were talking about it, I like the rollout. I think one thing they could have done is be a whole lot more transparent with the game mechanically works. Like League, they'll tell you the base stats. You can calculate it on paper what things' base stats are and the exact effects of the items. I know that if I have Stride Breaker on an attack carry, that if Yumi is attached to it, it doesn't work. I know that. That's just something that's publicly out there. For you League players, I hope you understand that. But for Unite, like Shamu, I told him that I was running Rocky Helmet on my Crustle, and he's like, you know that only hits one time per combat that you're in, right? And I was like, no, I didn't know that, because it's not very very out there.
Because a lot of the rule, like, the mechanical things, they don't tell you. Like, the game really needed a tutorial to, like, how to play a MOBA, and it didn't really have that. A game gave you, like, here's how to play our MOBA, not how to play a MOBA. And this is, the game really needs that, honestly, because not a lot of people know it. A lot of kids are just jumping in and just running through that tutorial like, cool, I just kill Pokemon. And then they just, people are learning now, but it's just still like, it's one of those things initially too. It's like, no one knew how to play this MOBA unless you played a MOBA before or are like older and can at least grasp the concept or are looking into videos. And some people are, some people aren't. It's just that issue. And like, again, with the hidden mechanics thing. So this happens for a couple other items trigger this too, like, I think Assault Vest and Float Stone, but different ways. But there's an out-of-combat mechanic. So for 8 full seconds, you need to not hurt anything or get hit. You can't hit or get hit by any Pokemon, including, like, the wilds or a player or whatever, for this effect to either recharge or trigger. So Rocky Helmet, you run into a combat. Something hits you, Rocky Helmet triggers. It will not trigger again until you hit that out of combat state, which means you can't hit anything or get hit by anything for 8 full seconds. So 90% of the time that Rocky Helmet is just gonna get used once and then that combat's over and it didn't really do much. You did like, what, 5% if you're at level like 20? I don't know the exact number on it, but so you did like a little chip. It can matter, yeah, but if you're using it, you're generally using it for a stat boost.
Yep. And then, like, is there a visual cue for Rocky Helmet? I know there is for Assault Vest.
No, because Assault Vest works as it gives you a shield for a ranged attack if you are out of combat, which is, I think it's a good, it's not a bad item because it's more the fact of someone goes to poke you, that poke doesn't actually, that first hit that a range would use on you does not work, essentially, is what it does.
Yeah.
Because that's like,
for our League players, that's a Malzahar passive.
Yeah, I have no idea what League terms are, so
I know.
Yeah. But, so yeah.
But like, anyway,
so it'll negate the first hit on you, and then whatever. It's good for some defenders, like Snorlax can use it. So, like, ranged ones just can't pick you off immediately. So, it's good like that.
Yeah, and the main reason why Assault Vest is so much better right now is because the current meta is very much around around these ranged characters. And I say that because most teams will usually have three, sometimes four ranged characters, then one melee person. Granted, it's usually a mix of it's usually either, well, sometimes it varies. It all depends on the team comp, but it's usually three or two or four ranged people that are your carries. And they just try and win the game that way. And your defense is usually up in front. Speaking of which, Snorlax is by far the best defender in the game.
Yeah.
My heart, no.
Like, yes, you can do things with Crustle. You can do things with Slowbro. It's just the amount of CC crowd control that Snorlax brings to the table is huge. The heavy slam being on like a less than 10 second cooldown, I think. It seems very low all the time.
I think it's maybe six, because that's like its main attack.
Yeah,
is but block between, is a bigger cooldown, but like
between that and block. You can knock somebody up and then stun them almost consistently for like 3 to 4 seconds or even longer if you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So it's just, I'm going to take your big person out, and you can hit multiple people with both of these.
Yes.
So it's the fact that it's a multi, hit move as well, it allows for, if you misplay or misposition yourself, you can really get punished. And that's what Snorlax does. And that's why it's used on every team. I think if you look at nine, I would bet, because I have not seen a team in a tournament not run Snorlax because it's that good. Granted, I'm sure there are people that have done it, but they haven't won. That's one of the few staples on every team right now. The only other staple that I've seen on every team is Lucario.
Lucario's very good early game.
I have not seen a lot of them, but Lucario is also very, very strong as your physical, AD carry. Let's put it that.
Yeah. I've been talking with Orange, too, and Orange has been playing a lot of Lucario. And what his experience is more like, it's very strong early game, and then around level 6 or 7, you kind of peter out. But from that point on, you're just consistent. You don't really fall off. It comes down to, as long as you can play well, you're pretty much good. It comes down to, the player playing, and it should, as long as you're fairly aware, it'll be consistent and you won't really drop down. It's just, that's the whole thing with these Pokemon that don't evolve. They start off very strong and then they kind of get consistent. I think Snorlax is one of the few ones where you start off a little weaker, but then you get really strong. You get your full kit. Once you get your kit, you're good.
Yeah, Snorlax peaks at level 8 when it hits block. And then I think at 9 again when it gets its Unite move. But Lucario, I think Lucario really needs both of its, it starts out really strong, but then, it falls off because it takes a while to get to, I think, it's whether it's 8 or 9 for its last move to hit both Bone Rush and Power Up Punch or whatever you're running.
Well, you really just need Power Up Punch, and then you're pretty much good, because Power Up Punch does a dumb amount of damage.
Exactly. It just takes some time.
Yeah.
And, he doesn't fall off, whereas you have things like Gardevoir and Garchomp are not seen nearly as much because they are so weak until they hit level 10.
Yeah. Gardevoir is the better version of Garchomp because Garchomp, it's ranged, and Garchomp, I haven't used Gardevoir, so I don't know exactly, but I know with Gardevoir, you have teleport, so you have essentially a second flash or eject button. The one leak term I know. you have a second flash, essentially, or a second eject button. But with Gibble, Sand Attack. Sand Attack is, one of the worst attacks in the whole game.
Yeah, it's so bad.
Agreed.
It hurts. So, for Gibble, you have to hit level 6 immediately, and if you do not hit it in, the first, minute or two, you're dead on walking unless you get fed.
Every time I see him up against a Garchomp, I get so excited. Because that means, I have no fear of dying in the first 10 levels.
Yeah.
Unless someone comes to gank. And even then, I'm not nearly as worried because there's no damage. Doesn't do anything, really. And it's the same with Ralts.
Yeah, you see those two, just go, okay, I see you. If I'm in your lane, you do not get experience. That's your goal if you are in a lane, against them. You do not let them get experience.
Yeah, you want to shut them down them as much as possible.
As much as you can, if you can. Don't get too greedy, but You know, like, oh, they went up top and you went down bottom. Go a little bit extra and grab their Audino, you know? Like,
yeah. And make it a 4v5.
The reason why they're not played as much is because one of the biggest lane bullies, two of the biggest lane bullies are ranged, being Alolan Ninetales, which I think has the strongest level 4 in the game.
Oh, like, yeah.
I that's my opinion. I'm not sure of that exactly, but I think it is the strongest level 4 in the game, and Cramorant. Whereas they can be ranged, and Alolan Ninetales has so many freeze options at such a long range, and then Cramorant, once it gets its kit, if you can hit all of your Hurricanes and Surfs, they are also stunned now for 2-3 seconds, and that's enough for a team to jump in, and they're just sitting there, far-ranged, not able to do anything.
Yeah.
And these people can harass you while you're on your little, like, base or home point, or, like, your scoring goal point, I guess we'll call it? I don't know.
Yeah.
The point, well, they're on the point, so you can't just, like, you have to move further back, allowing more people to get in there, and gives them opportunities to score. Because you only have 2 berries for, like, a minute or so before they respawn.
Yeah.
So it just, it keeps coming around like that, and you usually pair one of these with the Snorlax. So now that you're pushed back, Snorlax comes in, blocks you out even further, allowing your team to score more points. So, like, there's a whole, like, thing with that, and it all depends what else you're running, because most teams nowadays are running, it's usually on the other side, with Lucario, but it's either, like, a Wigglytuff or an Eldegoss, depending on if you want more healing on your team or you want that crowd control. Because Wigglytuff, after this recent patch, got buffed. And yeah, now it's
way too much.
I don't think it was way too much. I think it was
Sorry. When your support role is the defender role, that's too much.
My support role is my, like, killing role, too. I'm saying, like,
they made Wigglytuff from a supporter into a defender.
To an all-around. Yeah. Really?
An all-around thick boy.
That's my issue. It's like the fact that they actually changed one role into another role without actually changing the role. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my issue.
So, yes, he became bulkier, but otherwise he, like, I understand what they did, but a lot of that comes from its kit of having Sing. And they, like,
I get it.
Before Sing wasn't, like, was bugged, now it's not bugged anymore. And that's the real winner for Wigglytuff, is the fact that it can sing.
I don't care about things. It's the fact of, like, it's, Sing is annoying, yes, but I'm more like, they made the stat bones. They gave it essentially a full, I don't know what the points values are for its bulk. I didn't look at that part, but, the fact, they gave it HP and defenses. That's, and I think they gave
it
a bit too much.
They more than doubled all of them.
I don't think they doubled it, but they buffed them.
They definitely buffed it. I know that, because one of the things that was the most outstanding out of everything. But, like, I think that was a bit too much.
Nerfed Eldegoss's healing half the time, like half its healing, and it's still preferred in competitive over Wigglytuff, just because Eldegoss does everything you want it to do in a support. It can heal, it's got good shield. It has a great Unite move.
Yes, yeah. Eldegoss is still very good, and I think it's fine where it is now.
Yeah, Eldegoss is weaker, but still by far the top tier, like, support.
My main issue is when Wigglytuff is a better defender than Slowbro.
Alright, so I think Slowbro is really bad. I think Slowbro is very bad.
I agree. Because, like, okay, Slowbro's got one move that never sees use. You never use Amnesia. You use, Telekinesis is fine. Surf, like, every other move I think is, like, fine on it to a degree. It's just, there's no sense in, I don't think there's enough comps that require Slowbro. Part of the issue, too.
You're right. And, yeah. I think the thing with that is the fact that Slowbro's kit is designed for, oh, we're going to pick out one specific person and get rid of them.
Yeah.
Granted, in a team-based game that, like, you're on a small map and people have access to getting to you very quickly, it doesn't fit the game very well. Slowbro seems to be very good in, like, a quick play match. Like, one of those, like, threes quicks would be very useful. Like, oh, cool, you team up with, like, an attacker, cool, we found someone out, catch them out, they're now gone.
Yeah. It's one of those things, too, where it's kind of, like, I always think about this and forget about it and never even remember. But, like, Slowbro has two, it's Unite move, and one of its moves are the same move, pretty much, with, like, a little bit different text on it.
The old move is Telekinesis, but does damage.
Yeah.
Think Malzahar ult.
Yeah, and it's kind of just, like, that kind of hurts, you know? It hurts a little bit, because then you don't have, essentially, you don't have another option, you just had the same option again.
Granted, it is very useful, though, it is good. To have a slow roll on your team, if the opponents have one person who's fed.
Yeah.
Because if one person's, like, running away with an enemy team, all you have to do is telekinesis them, have your team kill them, and then now you're at a disadvantage, but their big advantage is gone.
So, like, slow roll has a use, it does have a use, we just don't have, the meta currently does not... It's not in Slowbro's favor. It's just not, like... And the thing is, issue two, we know the next mod we're getting is Blastoise, and I think Blastoise is going to be a way better defender than Slowbro.
Probably.
Yeah.
Because even Crustle
has its use.
Oh, yeah, Crustle...
Heck,
like,
yeah, he does.
The one thing I like about Crustle is it's a versatile, so you can kind of just do much more defensive, like, with, like, you can do some trapping stuff with fun memes with, like, Rock Tomb that you need to be much more accurate.
So I think that's the set that has the most potential, is if you can get the correct Rock Tombs, you block off a path, and suddenly have to flash, and if they don't have flash, they're stuck.
Yeah, no, you're, like, you're, yeah, because you can just run in right in front of them, and then they just can't get out.
Granted, it's so much more fun, though, to run Shell Smash and X-Scissor.
Yeah, there's uses for, like, Crustle's very versatile, and that's the one thing I like about it. And the same thing with Ninetales. Ninetales is super good, because it can go, we have like, five attackers, let me do a more supportive role. And you can do that very well with, like, Dazzling Gleam.
And that's the problem, is the supportive role for Ninetales is just so much better than the, like, Avalanche Blizzard role.
I do like the Avalanche Blizzard, because you can either just trap someone and murder them instantly with, like, could you Blizzard them into the Avalanche, and then they just get frozen, and then at that point, too, it's, like, two hits and they're dead.
Yeah.
Well, and your range is already good.
Yeah. Granted, Aurora Veil gives you, like, three autos and something's now frozen.
Yeah.
And you just keep doing that over and over again.
Yeah. There's definitely, like, there are, like, multiple builds and multiple things you can do with stuff. I know Talonflame has a use. I just wish it had a more of a better use.
And so this is the one thing we haven't talked about yet, is the jungle. Now,
that's what I was going to get to, like, that and objective. Oh. So let's transition to that. So we'll start with jungle. So let's talk about that. Hey, if someone picks jungle, don't get in their space, please. Thank you. But go on.
Yes. I mean, you have until level 6, pretty much. Like, your first clear is usually yours. After that, if you're on the other side of the map and there's an open minion, it's fair game.
I don't know how much it is now, but there was a thing of Wigglytuff taking red buff, and I get why they would. I know, because it's, like, what it does, but don't do that.
It can work.
Yes, it can. Do it with a team of people you're talking with. Don't do it in randoms.
You'll piss someone off, yeah.
Yeah, you piss a lot of people off when you just take a random jungle buff because you think, I want food. No, it's... You whatever reason you have, if you are in a random game, don't do that. Pick a lane, stay in your lane. You're jungling, stay in your jungle unless someone needs help. Don't, please. It's courtesy.
Because it throws off levels.
There is truth and there is not truth to some of that.
I'm saying in a random game you have no communication with anyone.
Now,
you know, like,
with that,
that's my mentality.
For the most part, that is true. Once Dreadnought spawns.
I'm talking about, like, the first, like, 2 minutes of a game.
Yes, yeah.
Because the
100%
game changes
first 5
point.
Minutes of the game or something. Or, I said, until Dreadnought spawns.
Yeah.
Stay within your area. But once Dreadnought spawns, that should be the top priority objective. I think of it kind of like Dragon in League versus, like, Rift Herald.
I think of it. Yeah.
Once something actually happens, an event in the game, then sure. There are cases to every situation. Like, there could be a situation where, look, they all went to the top because that seems to actually be a strategy in randoms and stuff. Like, where they just team fight instantly. They go in their lane for like 2 minutes, get to like level 4 or 5, and then they just all run to one lane. That seems to be happening a lot more often now, too.
But so going back to the jungle, like, the main things I'm seeing are, like, Cinderace is extremely good in the jungle because.
Yes.
It can clear fast, and it's a fast mod, so it can get to help all the teammates, and it has a long range, so it can just attack things from far away and put pressure on a point. Greninja
really
also does the same thing.
Yeah.
And those are the big two that I'm seeing, and you can swap Greninja and, like, Lucario in lane, or even Cinderace. Like, those three can all vary between a jungle and a lane very, very easily, but those are the main ones that I see that come in there and do a lot of damage. The last patch, Gengar was everywhere and could just, you know, run rampant.
Yeah,
now it's a little harder to do the same thing because, you know, it's weaker.
Yeah. Because Cinderace's big thing was the range. Because, like, I played a lot of Cinderace 2 earlier before it got nerfed. And, like,
it's still
jungling,
very, very good.
It's still very good. Yeah, no, it's not bad. It's just, that was the biggest, Cinderace's biggest advantage is the fact that I think it has, like, the biggest range, or one of the biggest ranges in the game for your neutral. And your neutral hits actually really hard on that third hit. Once it burns or whatever, it hits so hard for early game. Because you can literally just run, like, if I want to just mindlessly play, I just go pick Cinderace, neutral, and like, oh, you're like half, Blaze Kick, crit, you're dead, done.
Yeah, and I've seen a couple of good comps where they have Zero Aura in the jungle, because it's the same thing where it's,
you
clear fast, and then you get your early level ups if you need it, and then you just show up in lane, provide the CC, and do a lot of damage.
Because Zero Aura early game just gets, okay, Slash is very good, that does a lot of damage for like a basic move, and then you have another Flash with Agility. Whatever it's called. It's either Agility.
Yeah, but, it's Agility.
Like, so you have another Flash.
Exactly.
Greninja's thing, because I've been playing Greninja recently a bit, because I was just like, oh, yeah, this, I had the 50 points for playing it, whatever, because of the new acquire. And I was just doing jungling. Greninja's very good. Once you hit Surf, you are online. I think, like, level 7?
Yeah, like, once you hit Greninja.
Once you hit Greninja, you are online. Surf is such a good move, and then later you can do it twice, because it does, like, I think playing it would do, like, half. Or not half, it would
do, like,
a third to two-thirds, and then you can just, like, one hit, two hit, they're dead.
That it does so much damage. Is the most annoying move. Because it doesn't just blind you from Greninja, it blinds you from everyone.
Yeah, it just blinds you, yeah.
For, like, a couple of seconds.
And it's a little baby Flash. It's nice.
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah.
But I should say something, if you're jungling, and you probably will have Flash on, or eject button.
Think eject of it like Zed with a little bit of CC.
I was just saying, just for jungling basic, you start off, just flash through that first wall, because you can do that.
Yeah, that's a very common thing, is either that or you hit some of the minions to get some experience, like the two little A-Poms, and then you flash the wall and just start hitting the Lillipup as fast as possible, because you're cool, it's going to be back up before you go gank anything anyways.
And another little note, because I found this out too, didn't know for sure, follow the Lillipup, because that Lillipup will lead you to blue buff, aka Ludicolo.
It always goes in that direction.
Yep, and I didn't know that until I was playing the jungling a couple times in a row. I was like, oh, it leads you to Ludicolo, because Ludicolo will then, the blue buff gives you more damage on mobs. I don't know if it's the same as League, I have no idea.
It's not, but you're right in this regard.
Okay. Yeah, so you go for blue buff because it does more damage to mobs, then you go to Bouffalant, which gives you, I think it stuns people on your basic attack, or it gives an interrupt, or it does something to your basics.
Yeah.
And then you just go for the little two core fish, and then you go from there.
Yeah, you either go one Corphish and gank, or you go both Corphish and gank, depending on which lane needs more help immediately, or if there's someone else.
It depends on how bad the early game goes, because usually I've been just going both Corphishes because nothing really happened at that point.
Yeah, it all depends on how the game is.
It all depends on what happened, and if there's a team fight somewhere, if three you go up top for some reason, or three go down bottom, you know, like if depending where their jungle goes to.
Be observant, watch your minimap, see what's going on.
It's a lot of you just gotta know, you just gotta kind of observe the minimap and go, what's happening here? Okay, this is happening, and then just go, okay, this is the play I have to go, or this is the play I have to go. Like, after time, you'll figure out what to do and with certain areas, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just, certain situations, you'll, know. It'll be, muscle memory, where it's like, oh, this happened, I need to go here now, or, oh, this is here, I need to do this. Or you'll kind of, also the thing is to keep in mind, too, is who do you see in the lanes, and then who can you determine is jungling, too? So who are you going to fight in the jungle, possibly? Who are you going to meet up with?
And all that matters, as I mentioned before, Dreadnought is such a huge win for a team, because it gives your entire team experience.
And a shield, which is nice, too.
Yeah.
Dreadnought is very good.
So, it's I've had several times where, oh, we know it's going to spawn in 30 seconds, or, 10 seconds. My entire top lane will go back to base and run down bot, so we have a 5-people bot to fight and then get Dreadnought if we need it. And we'd lose all of top to Rotom, because they would just stay up there, but we would get Dreadnought. Everyone would be a higher level, and suddenly we would break their bottom lane at the same time, and now it's, alright, cool, we're going back, and the game's just worse slightly. Either we're down points-wise, but we're ahead overall in levels, which is so much more advantageous.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, I've made that mistake a couple times early on. Dreadnought is more important than Rotom, so...
Yeah. Because the EXP... Because, the biggest issue is, I don't want to say the issue is the game, but the biggest issue to fight face is, if they get fed, you don't... if a team gets fed, it becomes a steamroll, and the only way another team has a chance, a single chance, is Zapdos.
And half the time they're doing Zapdos already, and they can just, like, 2v5 you if they're that far ahead. Granted, that's true of any MOBA, though, or if someone gets a whole bunch of levels, it's so much harder to kill them.
I feel like it just steamrolls a lot in this, because that's the biggest issue, and that's kind of what hurts, too, and just kind of, like, it just feels rough sometimes, because I've had that, too, and just get tilted, because it's like, why are we even doing this at this point? Because you got, like, you know they're steamrolling you, and it's like, there's a chance, but it's like, ugh.
And on that topic, you have Zapdos. The last 2 minutes of the game are arguably the most important. I've been losing the game, like, gotten Zapdos, or, like, we won a lucky fight at the wrong moment, we're able to Zapdos, get it, and then suddenly win the game off of, like, 300 points.
Yeah.
Is absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and at the very least, they did nerf it. They changed it from 50 to 30, because it used to be 50. And I noticed Zapdos, it used to be worth 50 points, it's worth 30 now. Unless it's certain times in the game.
I thought it was always 30.
Maybe I'm thinking the playtest or the network test or whatever, but I do remember it being 50 at one point.
Eek.
I could be, like, getting things mixed up, but I believe, yeah. Because that was the thing, like, with Dreadnought, each worth, like, 20, and that was worth, like, 50. Because there was a notable difference in Quick Match that it was worth 30.
Yeah, that's good to know.
But, because, like, that's been half the strategy now is, oh, we're ahead. We shouldn't even touch Zapdos.
Yeah, it comes down to
we just need to be around
of,
and defend. If we see them going for it, we fight them enough to them for them to leave, and then you just regroup.
A lot of the strategy is, like, it's kind of a triangle. You either defend it, you go for it, or you pick it off. You wait for them to weaken it to a point where you can run in and just snipe it. Pardon my language. But you essentially just either don't let them get it and wait for them to be all down so you can get it. You either go for it yourself because you just need it. Like, you have to, like, they're down already and you're just going for it and you just have to, like, try to burst it as fast as possible. Or you don't jump on it yet, and you're not really defending, you're waiting for them to kind of, like, weaken it to a point where you can all just jump in and then just take it down. And this works for, like, Dreadnought and Rotom as well. More or less the picking it off part for, like, the Dreadnought and Rotom, but that can also work for Zapdos, depending on what character you are.
Mm.
So it's just a kind of a triangle of, like, here are the series things you can do. And this will probably change over time, because assuming we get new maps at some point in the future, it's probably not going to be for a while, but...
I don't know, they might keep the fives. As five.
Well, it'll be something five, yeah, but I'm saying they might still make a new map for
5v5. No, they might recolor it or something.
That's what I'm getting at, not, like, new, like, standard formats. I'm just getting a new map in general.
Well, that would be cool.
There was some stuff data mined, and we don't know if that's Pokemon or areas or Quick Match. We don't know what they are, exactly, except for a few, but...
Exactly. I think seasonal things might be fun, but that's just fun.
Yeah, and they're showing to wanting to put a lot of life into this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is exciting, like... Within a week or two of the game, we've had a patch. That's exciting.
That first patch made me very, like, I was very relieved because they essentially did a lot of, they essentially fixed all the problems that were, like, being talked about.
Yep.
I think maybe minus one or two odd things, but they weren't that big. But, like, they hit Gengar, they hit Cinderace, they buffed Charizard, like, they did a lot of little things that were, like, these were things that needed to be done. They nerfed Eldegoss because people, because that was my thing, that was my biggest complaint. Like, yeah, with a network test, sure, they're not going to change stuff in the network test. Whatever your argument is for that. My biggest issue is that people knew the things from in the future, or in the past, whatever, and it didn't get dealt with up to this point. You would think they would do a little bit of patching with certain things, with what people said, but... Yeah. Even then, after, like, what, a week or two after they did this, and this was, like, perfect. They fixed everything, just about. That was a very relieving thing.
It really balanced everything out.
They're actually trying to make this work.
Yep.
And it was just, like, because I wouldn't have expected a patch this early, honestly. I would have expected it, like, at Season 2. I would have, like, if...
I'm glad they're doing it this early. And, like, the season's, 2 months? And we were, like, 2 weeks in, and they already
had
a patch?
We got it, yeah. Yeah,
that just shows they want to keep updating and improving the game, which makes me excited because that means we already know there's going to be new characters. And, like, they've data mined a whole bunch of stuff, or there's been speculations and rumors of all the different things, but, like, this shows they want to put life into this game, and it's not just going to be, like, Pokken, where, oh, here's a character!
Yeah,
and then nothing.
And then nothing for years, because it's kind of gone.
Until we get the remaster from the arcade version, because they just kind of supported the arcade version, but not really.
Yeah, they want, like, the live, like, arcade console, not, like, a Switch game anymore. Or doesn't feel like a Switch game anymore, but...
And Pokemon was just too complicated, in my opinion.
And then, like, they're going to move this to mobile. And I'm excited to see what they do with mobile for it. Like,
yeah, I think mobile, once the mobile gets released, I think we might see a new character.
I think there will be a, I think with mobile, there will also be a new, like, challenge. Oh, like, how there was in, like, the first 7 days for Crustle.
Yeah. Well,
I'm expecting that to be the same thing for mobile.
Crustle one goes away in, like, 10 days, I think. Not from recording, not from the actual launch of this, or maybe the launch of this, I don't know, but... Like, because I think the Trusto thing had it was a month-long challenge.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens after that. I'm excited. I think the one thing I want to see, like, long-term achievements, essentially. Like, a long-term challenge. Not that it really gives you a lot.
That is the battle pass, though, but yeah.
It is the battle pass, but it's only weekly and daily. I want, like, a long-term thing, you know? Like, they already gave us, like, little, like, circle things for the profile, like the avatar image, if you get the certain, like, costumes. Give it just some little random cosmetics to unlock via, like, long-term challenges. Like, oh, here, like, play 1,000, like, play 100 games, then tier 2 play, like, 250, tier 3, 500, tier 4, 1,000.
Kind of like the Pokemon Go medals, where it's like, oh, catch 5, oh, yeah, catch 10, oh, yeah, catch 200.
Like, yeah, like the medals in Pokemon Go. I'm just talking, like, a long-term achievement system. Something to, like, keep people interested in it to a degree.
See, like, I think a lot of people like the ranked for that. That is the long-term achievement. Like, can you hit
two? I just want something that... Because I don't want to play ranked, personally. Like, I do it for the reward, and then I'm like, okay, I hit my quota, I'm good. I want something, like, just, like, something to look forward to. Like, oh, I need a reason to play. And I think I've said this on MegaCast, too. I just want a reason to play for other things other than just rank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just, like, agreed. EXP. Like, I need something long-term. Give me some cosmetics. They've got a lot of options for it. They just... I know it's still early game, though.
They have too many socks already. Let me tell you that.
Yeah, socks. Right? Yeah.
You can't even see them.
Half the time, no. Like, that's the one thing I'm like, all right, you gave us a few cosmetics and then a whole bunch of socks and shoes.
And you only see it from the waist up.
Pretty much. Like, and you don't even see the character in-game. Like, I like seeing the costumes on some of the characters, and I'm glad they're slowly going to give us more and more costumes for characters. I just wish there was an easier way to, like, get them and not... I understand, like, you have to pay money to get them or... get lucky with reward spins or something, but, like, it just feels like they could have done so much better with the avatar. Like, I would love to see it, like, even if you're in your home base, you can see all the avatars just sort of, like, standing there.
Yeah.
Something small like that would be cool.
And fix your poses. I want my silly pose to come through on my trainer card, but it doesn't right now. Gosh, dang
bugged.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's surprising. It's still bugged.
Right. Oh, well.
Whew.
Yeah. I think we've hit a lot of the topics. Do you have, what is your, the one I want to end it on? I mean, I've obviously got the answer for this question, so my answer is going to be very boring. But of all the ones that you've played so far, what has been your favorite thing and a short reason why? I'll go ahead and go first because mine's a spoiler. Not really. I have absolutely loved Crustle because, kind of like what Shamu was saying, it is so versatile. Garchomp does one thing. Talonflame does one thing. A lot of those do one thing very well, but Crustle, you can go offensive and be kind of a bruiser kind of a build with the Shell Smash X Scissor one. You can be an annoying CC person with the Rock and the X Scissor. You can be fully bulky with Rock Tomb and Stealth Rock for area of effect and kind of zoning. And the whole while, you're thick and impossible to ignore. So I like Crustle because it's very adaptable, and it seems to be not one that people pick often, so I get to get my pick most often. How about you, Shamu? What's been your favorite thing to play?
Mime. Because I get to clap, really? Slap, push you into walls, and watch you explode.
Yeah, Mime can 1v1 so many people, and it's nuts.
Really?
Mime is such a fun mod.
A good Mime is so annoying.
Because you essentially do what Crustle does. And or you're a weird mix of like kind of like how Crustle and Snorlax do things with like Block and or Rock Tomb, where you put up a wall. They can't run, they can attack through it, but they can't walk through it. So if they're on point, you can, or if they're about to get on point, you can put up a wall in front of them. They can't get the point, or if they go too far past point, put a wall in front of them so they can't get back to the point to heal. And this also works on yours. So if they try to go too far deep into your like speed zone, guess what? Put a wall up, they're stuck in that speed zone still because they went too far in. You punish them. And it's just, and then, like, Confusion does more, like, if you use Confusion to push something, and you push them into a wall, not your wall, well, your wall too, or a wall on the field, like the little barriers that are in like the top bottom lane, it will do more damage, and by more damage, a lot more damage, and it will stun them. So it allows you to essentially go, oh, they're traveling in a pack, put up a wall between them. If you can get it to work, put up a wall between them, split them, hit the one, they get incapacitated, and it pushes the other one further away too, because it goes through.
Gotcha.
And you, and if you're with someone else, you can just pick off that person you just stunned, and then it's the 2v1 now. My basic attack does, like, no damage, but it also was the whole thing with confusion and barrier. You have a very good getaway package, where you can throw a confusion behind you to push them back, throw up a wall to stop them from running towards you. You just have a very good getaway package, as well as being able to do some dumb damage.
And you haven't even mentioned guard swap being annoying.
I have not tried guard swap. That's one that I haven't tried guard swap. I tried psychic barrier once by accident, and it's kind of okay. I get why, but you need to be with the right team to do it. You need to be essentially with a special attacker that's a nuker to make that really work. Because whole psychic's whole gimmick is you are lowering their special defense for a period temporarily, so other special attacks will nuke it. And with barrier in tandem with that, the barriers will also emit psychic when you use psychic. So if you get in between two barriers and you hit psychic, it just nukes their special defense, and something else can just come in and just kind of clean it, in theory. I haven't really tested it out too much to like try it exactly, but that's kind of what I believe you can do with it. Because that's what the text said, at least, where you can just like lower the special defense. Assuming it also stacks too, I guess. I don't know if it does or doesn't, but I might try some guard swap stuff. Just barrier is just such a good move.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to beat barrier for, like, in my mind. Because guard swap, I think you have to still stay close.
Yeah. How about you, Claude? What's been your favorite thing?
So, I love playing Wigglytuff. Wigglytuff is just so much fun for me. That, and like, even though, yes, it was buffed, a lot of teams still aren't playing it. People would rather play their offensive threats because they do more damage. And that makes sense. Because a Wigglytuff either feels like it does nothing or everything. Granted, my favorite thing is when I'm not really, like, trying hard and I get to run roll out. Because there are a couple of spots on the map where you can roll out almost infinitely and catch two, three people, and they all just die and they can't do anything. Because it just goes back and forth, bouncing against little walls. Like, there's a spot bottom in between, like, a wall and, like, in between two walls where you sit in the bush. If they run by or there's a team fight, what do you know? I roll out up, and suddenly I bounce off the walls, like, three or four times, and they're just, they're knocked up every single time. They can't do anything. They just sit there, keep repeatedly getting hit until they die.
Oh, wow.
It's one of the dumb, fun combos that exist. Granted, Sing is just straight better, but, like, if you're not playing, if you're just having fun or in a normal, like, I'm 100% taking roll out and just gonna have fun.
That's fun. That's hilarious sounding, honestly. I need to try that.
And I was playing that before they buffed Wigglytuff because it was silly and I liked it. And then when they buffed Wigglytuff, I realized, the rest of the kit is just straight better. That and, like, I used to always think Double Slap was good, but then I realized, Dazzling Gleam just hits harder. I guess that might be better.
That would be a reason. Yep. Alrighty.
Yeah.
Well, I think with that, I think we've kind of given it a good talk about what's good in Unite, what's competitive, what's not, and things we'd like to see changed, hopefully, like the transparency thing, a couple items or quirks here and there.
Zapdos,
for instance. Yeah, I think we've given it a good discussion. If this was the normal show, I'd say write in and ask your favorite things, but it's not, so you don't get to. Haha. I would also, you know, say we're about to go to the team of the episode, but for Unite, that doesn't make sense, so there is no team of the episode. So we are transitioning directly to the outro, folks. Surprise. If you like what you hear, you can get a lot more Puckly goodness from other sources, like this channel, the Puckle Plus feed, also has the TCG cast, the trivia, and the trivia rewind episodes. So get a bit of those. They come out every Thursday. Unless you're lazy and get it out on Friday, but this show's coming out on Thursday for once. I've gotten my act together. If you like general Pokemon stuff, we have another feed, the Puckle feed, which is the main show that comes out every Monday. You can go there and listen to our beautiful voices and our fearless leader Thatch talk about anything and everything Pokemon. You can also follow us on our social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram being the three big ones. And most importantly, join us on Discord. That is where a lot of the fun stuff happens, and we have a whole lot of rooms set up for being able to join in a Unite team. So if you want to play with some people and do those plays that Claude was talking about everyone taking on the Dreadnought at the same time, you can do them in person with people that you kind of can get to know. In the Puckle Discord server. There's a link down below you can click to get in. And I think that's all the little bits and pieces. I need to write these down so I remember what to say on the outro, but here I am, floundering my way through like a poor Gibble trying to get through a lane. And with that, though, I have been Seth Vilo.
I've been Shamu.
And I've been Claude Nye.
And we will see you guys next month.
Take care, everyone.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.